You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio Roadshow today. We're here at the Hail Varsity Club in La Vista, and just grab the interstate that direction and get in to your happy place with happy hour till 6 here at the Hail Varsity Club. We're snuck in kind of between Embassy Suites and right next to Cabela's. So great stuff, man. There's a lot of Nebraska folks here that are interested in Husker baseball. But, yes, it is going to be all blue and Creighton tonight as the Jays look to keep on marching in March and make their way to the Elite Eight and beyond. We welcome in an amazing talent, homegrown Nebraska standout with Lincoln Northeast, and then helped be part of those Jays NCAA tournament teams in 02 and 05. We welcome in the coach at Norris, Jimmy Motes, joins us here on Hail Varsity Radio. Jimmy, it's good to spend a few minutes with you, man. I know you're on the road, but you got to be smiling about your Jays and their chances tonight. How are you?
It's a big day in Blue Jay Nation, that's for sure. People on the hilltop, I'm sure, pretty excited. You can almost say it's probably one of the biggest days in program history just because of what's on the line. And it's a pretty exciting time considering everything that's happened this year at this team and how far they've came. And here we are. We're one of 12 still remaining in the tournament.
Jimmy, a thought on where you think this season flipped for Creighton with Coach Mack. We know how it started. We know the up and down middle part and then this incredible finish. I mean, their game against Baylor was awesome, but in the regular season, what stuck out? A real rugged Big East this year.
Oh, the Big East was good. It's definitely one of the better leagues in the country. I think it speaks volumes to what they've done the postseason with three teams still playing in the tournament. There's not an easy game in the league. I think that's the thing that you have to understand, and you can make that argument for any conference of college basketball, though, because everybody knows everybody really well. But I really felt like when it got, you know, the Maui tournament was good, but then in essence, too, kind of like flipped the script for a while just because they played one home game in 31 days, which was very unusual compared to years past. But I also think, too, it was a challenging schedule. Obviously, the stretch with the Texas loss, Nebraska loss, going to Marquette, getting beat, but then coming back Christmas Day and beating DePaul was almost like a must-win at the time. And it got them going again a little bit, and they kind of hit their stride there toward the middle of conference play there because essentially every game from there on out became a big game on the schedule. And the way they finished the season, getting the 20 wins, getting the semifinals of the Big East tournament, but more importantly, you get that it's all about matchups in March, who you play. And I thought they got a pretty favorable first-round draw with NC State. And then, obviously, the Baylor game was big for a lot of reasons because they didn't get the second weekend. But more importantly, I think 2014 was in the back of people's minds. And, so, I mean, you go through a season like this, there's ups and downs, ebbs and flows. But they found a way to finish. They stuck together. Coach Mack did a great job of keeping things together within the program. And here we are, March 24th. And who would have thought we'd be playing Princeton 3-16? I mean, that's what's crazy about the whole thing.
Yeah, Jimmy, you mentioned Princeton, the opponent. How worrisome is that to you, the Cinderella run? Would you rather have a team that doesn't have that Cinderella magic behind them now that you reach the Sweet 16, or are you confident that Creighton can go and take down Princeton because of just how battle-tested Creighton has been this year when you compare that to Princeton's their schedule and their roster?
I think it's both ways on this thing because, obviously, the Cinderella, the fan favorite, could be Princeton because of the story, 15 seed, all of that. I get that. But I also think, too, there's something to be said. When you get to the second weekend, you've got your best teams playing. And I think Creighton's been in a lot of big spots this year where they've had to produce in big games and make things happen. So I don't think they're going to get too overwhelmed. You've got a fairly veteran group. Manny still has three sophomore starters. But I think you've got a guy like Carl Frederick who can change the game. Baylor's a game changer, just what he can do offensively in terms of scoring it, rebounding it, making plays. And you've got a point guard, Ryan Nebhard, who's really done a great job here in the postseason, commanding things, managing the offense, and then having a 30-point game against Baylor, and the shots he was making were big. So it's been somebody different in the postseason. It could be somebody else tonight, but obviously the storylines that go with it, there's plenty of them. But ultimately, someone's going to get a chance playing their first Elite Eight after tonight.
Creighton standout Jimmy Motes joining us here, Hail Varsity Radio on the road here in Omaha at the Hail Varsity Club Jays watch party a little bit later here at the Hail Varsity Club happy hour going on. Somebody just sent me a beer. That's incredible. Jimmy, part of two tournament teams. It is a good day. Two tournament teams, 0-2 and 0-5. Missouri Valley champs, NCAA tournament teams, strong runs in the NIT. So all 4 years postseason for you, Jimmy. You're a three-point marksman, and that's going back to your days at Northeast. And what is so appealing, in your opinion? Creighton and Mac keep getting local talent, and they keep getting who they want. Doesn't matter where a kid's located. This system Mac has been super effective. Tell us why you think kids love it so much.
I think Mac's a player's coach. He's been real good to us alums since he's been there. I usually take our teams up there to team camp because the way they treat us so well. They're very hospitable. The coaching staff's very accessible. I got to take my staff up to practice before the season started, and they were really good for us. He's just a down-to-earth guy, but you look at the consistency within the program, and I think that's a lot of it. And I think the way they play, the way they get up and down and try to score points, and it's a lot of the good Nebraska kids have opted to go there. And I think one of the big additions in the, if you want to call it the transfer portal, was getting Shireman last spring. Mm-hmm. That was a huge pickup just because of his versatility and the fact he was the Summit League Player of the Year. And he was the most sought-after player in the portal, and he decided to come to Omaha. But I think the program recruits itself. It's been very steady. The postseason success speaks for itself in terms of whether it's NCAA appearances, Sweet 16 2 years ago, NIT bids, whatnot, but there's just been a level of consistency across the board. But more importantly, I mean, you look at the coaching staff, a lot of those guys have been there for a while in terms of the program. And Bruce Rasmussen has got a lot to do with that, too, the former AD. So a lot of good things in regards to that, but more importantly, you got a fan base that supports the program that shows up, and there's 18,000 there a night.
Jimmy Motes with us here, Hail Varsity Radio. And Jimmy, there's been some coaching carousel rumors swirling around Creighton and Coach McDermott. What's your take on that? I know the Notre Dame position's now been filled, so I wanted to get your take, and you laugh. So I'm curious to see what you have to say.
Oh, I go back to when Coach Altman was there and I was playing. Cause every year, it was, I know the 1 year Miami was in the mix. I still remember the day that he was rumored to be taking the Illinois job, and he was running individual workouts in our gym. Every year he was up for a job, and we just kind of like, hell, I mean, if he goes, he goes. But, I mean, there's no substance to it. But Max done a great job in terms of, you know, putting his name out there on the national level. I mean, he was at Wayne State, worked his way up to North Dakota State, did a really good job in Northern Iowa. In fact, I played against him. He was the head coach at Northern Iowa. I think he learned a lot from his stint at Iowa State in terms of the do's and don'ts. And it was kind of the perfect storm because the greatest recruiting ploy in all of college basketball history was hiring Coach Mack and getting Doug to come along with him. We get a three-time All-American out of the deal. I just don't see any way, shape, or form that Mac takes a Power 5 job elsewhere because I think it's just too good of a situation in Omaha with what he's got going. You're not fighting football as well. And I think you get those other leagues. A lot of super leagues are starting to evolve, like the ACC, the SEC. You're going to see more conference realignment where I think the Big East, from a basketball standpoint, is in that conversation as a Power Six conference. And it's been proven, and Villanova's proven it, you can win national championships in the Big East. And I think he's built the program to a point where it's competing on a national level to play to get to the second weekend, to a Final Four. And you take a different job, you're kind of taking a step back and hit the reset button. So I think he's got too good of a thing going in Omaha, where I think he's going to finish out his career in Omaha. I mean, I could be wrong. I don't know. But I just don't see another Power 5 job or 6 job that's attractive enough to persuade him out of Omaha right now.
Jimmy Motes, Creighton standout with us, Hail Varsity Radio, head coach at Norris now, a state champion at Sterling at the high school ranks, 2 trips to the NCAA tournament for Creighton. Coach Jimmy, just real quick, I got about 2 minutes left. Dana, a warning shot to those Oregon fans. What's next for Dana? What's your reaction to Coach Altman and maybe some of his frustration there in Nike Town?
I don't think there's going to be any major wholesale changes. I think that was just frustration for a year that maybe the expectation was more. They fought injuries from day one. He was missing 4 guys to start the year, and everything just kind of snowballed. And, you know, he's built that program up to a point where it should be winning the Pac-12, competing in the NCAA tournament. And they've had a couple tough years here just where they've had to battle some injuries with some guys. And they played a lot of different guys, different combinations, young guys here and there. I don't think there's going to be any wholesale changes in at Oregon, because what he's done out there in the 13 years he's been there, no other coach has done out there ever in terms of consistency. Plus, you win 20 games a year in college basketball, which he's done out there, you're doing something right. So if you watch the press conference, I watched it. I think a lot of it got taken out of context because of some of the things that were printed. But I think it was a lot of frustration. The fact is, he almost beat Wisconsin without 4 of his best players on the floor. I think people forget that. And so, I think it's just a lot of frustration. I think he just had to vent. He got out of his system. But I truly think that he's going to be back. He's going to finish out there. And he'll get it back to where it needs to be. I've got no worries about that. Like I said with Coach Mack, it would surprise me if something happened out there within the next month in terms of a change.
Jimmy, last thought here, about 30 seconds left. I need to know, if Creighton gets it done tonight, will your celebration look anything like it did up at Omaha Ron Colley about a month ago?
Wow.
It might be better. I don't know. You got to remember this. We won 3 games at the buzzer to get to the state tournament, so you'd be excited, too. And the kid that hit the shot, McCoy Folkerts, was a freshman. Biggest shot he's ever hit. And I hope he's got a few more left in him, because we're going to need some of those guys. But I don't want to win 3 games at the buzzer to get the state tournament ever again, because that's just too much on me.
Jimmy, take care. Best to you. Thanks for some time today talking Creighton.
Hey, real quick, I got my son in the car. He wants to say something real quick.
Do it, buddy.
Go Creighton.
There you go.
Go Creighton. There he is. Jimmy Motes with us. Hail Varsity Radio continues here at the Hail Varsity Club, presented by Currency.